Good evening and welcome to worship. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Gracious and holy God, from the busyness of our days, Lord, we ask now that you calm our hearts. Lord, during this time, open our eyes and our minds to your Spirit. Give us your peace and your wisdom and your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Sweet hour of prayer.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joy I feel, of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my stay
in silence as you listen for the Holy One. From Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
search out the depths of my heart. Like a fire burned through me, here on my knees, consume every dark hidden part. Holy Spirit, all-consuming fire, fill me with the joy of my heart's desire. There is no friend to me like you long to.
Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. From Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's grace, throne of grace, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. During this silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the kneeler to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. From Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Yes, I love you.
Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. One of my favorite hymns in our hymnal is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I love that it's this hymn of both great praise of God and acknowledgement that we often fall short and need the saving grace of Jesus in our lives to keep us from wandering too far. I've always loved the words of this hymn, but when I learned more about the writer, I began to appreciate it all the more. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing was written by a man named Robert Robinson in 1758. Robinson was only 22 years old when he wrote the words to this hymn, but his 22 years had been quite eventful. His father died when he was about 8 years old, and because of how things worked in the 18th century, he was forced into the workplace as a child to help provide for his family. At 14, he was sent away to London to become an apprentice to a barber. Going to work at such a young age led him to falling in with a not so great crowd of people. At the age of 17, he and his friend thought it would be great fun if they got really drunk, and they went and they caused a ruckus at an outdoor revival featuring the preacher George Whitefield. George Whitefield was a contemporary with Methodist founder John Wesley, and they are both known for preaching outdoors to these loud, large crowds of people. But anyway, what started out as a joke to Robinson led to him hearing a sermon that would stick with him for the next 3 years, continually pulling at his heart until he converted to Christianity at age 20. 2 years later, as he too was becoming a preacher, he penned the words to the hymn. Robinson himself is an example of this Hebrew scripture we've been looking at tonight. He was convinced by the preaching of the scripture, the word that the scripture tells us is living and active, and he was brought into a life of grace and mercy by the forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ. Robinson's life was changed, and he wrote this beautiful hymn about praising God and about the grace we receive from Jesus, who is our Savior and our Mediator. Jesus, as Hebrews tells us, is our great high priest. Now, we don't talk too much about high priests anymore, but the role of the high priest in Judaism was to stand in between the people and God. In some ways, it might be better for us to think of it as a mediator, someone who goes in between, someone who works to get the two sides together. But Jesus is also more than just your average mediator. Because, and this is really important to the scripture, Jesus is a mediator who knows what it's like to be on both sides. As God, Jesus knows what it means to judge. Yet as human, Jesus knows what it means to be on trial. As Hebrews tells us, we don't have a great high priest or mediator who is unable to empathize with us. Instead, we have Jesus, who lived a fully human life, who knows what it means to be lonely and tired and tempted and angry and upset and let down. He has felt that full weight of temptation to stray, to do life alone, to sin, to hurt others. Of course, Jesus didn't ever give in to that temptation, which if you think about it, just means that Jesus experienced that temptation, the weight of it, much more than any of us. Because on a good day, I might stand strong against temptation for like 5 minutes. Jesus stood strong against temptation for 33 years. Now the final verse of "O come, thou fount of every blessing" says, "O to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter," which is like an ankle shackle, "bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Here, Robinson acknowledges that he is prone to wander away from God, that he is daily tempted to go back to his life before God. But that isn't how he wants to live. In fact, he goes so far to ask for God's goodness and grace to shackle him to Christ. And yet the good news of this hymn and this scripture for our lives is that no matter what temptation we give into, no matter how prone we are to wandering, we can always return to God with confidence because Jesus stands with us. Jesus empathizes with us. Jesus knows what we go through. We have a mediator, an advocate, a sponsor in Christ. And so whatever temptation you face, whatever causes you to be prone to wander, whatever leaves you doubting or confused or hopeless, know that Jesus not only understands, Jesus is there with you and wants to bring you back. And so no matter what leads us astray, we can return with confidence because God's grace is big enough to handle it. We can approach the judgment of God because Jesus is standing there for us. No matter what weakness we have, no matter what we face, no matter what struggle we have, Jesus has faced that temptation, knows how to overcome it, and wants us to overcome it as well. You're not alone. Jesus is there with you. The good news of this passage and the good news of that hymn is that there's always a fresh start in Christ, which is something that each and every one of us need. Some days we're going to wander in big ways, and some days we're going to wander in small ways. But we all wander. And the grace of Jesus Christ brings us all back. This is true for us. It was true for the people first hearing the letter to the Hebrews. And it was true for Robert Robinson as well. Because I haven't yet told you his whole story. Because even after he came to faith in Christ, Robinson was still a wanderer. He still faced the temptation to leave. There's a story about him later in life that he had wandered away from his faith. He was struggling to still believe in and follow Jesus. He found himself literally wandering and traveling around the English countryside. Well, on that trip, he ended up sharing a stagecoach with a woman, and when he got on the stagecoach, she was humming her favorite hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." The story goes that she asked him if he had ever heard it, and he replied, "Ma'am, I am the poor unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds, if I had them, to enjoy the feelings that I had back then." To which the woman told him, "Sir, the streams of mercy are still flowing." And with that, Robert Robinson found his way back to Christ again. Look, if a man who wrote a famous hymn about wandering from God can actually wander from God and then return with confidence, it should be pretty clear to us that we can have confidence in the power of Christ in our own lives to welcome us back and overcome temptation that we face. No matter how much we're prone to wander, no matter what temptations we face, Jesus is always standing with us, understanding us, and that's what that scripture is all about. And so when you find yourself faced with temptation, when you find yourself prone to wander, when you find yourself experiencing all of those human letdowns of loneliness and anger, brokenness, guilt, failure, and the like. Trust that Jesus has been there. And he's not only been there, Jesus knows the way out. He overcame, and with confidence, because of the grace of God in your life, you too can overcome. Jesus came and he lived among us, and he really knew what it was like to be human, to feel like we do. And yet, he was also God. He had the power of God to overcome temptation and the power of God to save us from our sin, from our doubt, from our failures. So on that last night that Jesus was with his disciples and he took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, and it is poured out for you and for all who will drink it, for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. We ask that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Lord, we ask that you make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Amen. Here in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it into the cup and then receive both elements at the same time. We have a gluten-free option also available if you prefer that. I invite you to come. forth with the confidence that you are loved by Christ, that Christ's grace is for you, that Christ is our great high priest, our mediator. Amen.